hear the whistle blow. I'm looking for a train. When I hear the thunder roll, I know it's gonna rain. Could just be a joke. I'm not calling you a lie. But oh baby, I smell smoke. There's got to be a fire. When I hear talk behind my back, my ears begin to burn. When a black cat crossed my path, oh, my luck is about to turn. It could just be a joke. I'm not calling you a lie. But oh, baby, I smell smoke. That's got to be a fire.
That's bluesman Kenny Neal on guitar and on vocals. And he's a son of the late blues harmonica icon Raful Neal of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, with I Smell Smoke. It's from his 2000 album, What You Got. Kenny Neal is one of 10 children. They're all blues musicians. He was inducted into the Louisiana Music Hall of Fame in 2011. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. It is Monday, February the 9th, and well, I thought I would kind of chime in a bit on this brouhaha that has emerged involving Brian Williams, NBC Nightly News anchor, and it seems as if Mr. Williams, who has taken himself away from the camera a bit, he's not going to be around for a couple of days, he says, while NBC conducts an internal probe about stories he seems to have misremembered, unquote. The bigwigs at NBC are furious that their $10 million a year nightly news gatekeeper has tarnished the organization's credibility with at least two stories. Another one has surfaced today. Williams said he was in a helicopter in Iraq, in 2003 during the invasion, U.S. invasion at that time, and was hit by a rocket-propelled grenade. The helicopter he was in was hit by a rocket-propelled grenade. He also said that he saw a body or bodies floating by in front of his French Quarter hotel in the floodwaters of Hurricane Katrina in 2005. But on both counts, Iraq war veterans and New Orleans emergency officials have called Williams out on both these stories, totally disputing his accounts. And so the organization he works with, NBC, has decided it will conduct a thorough investigation because it is so very concerned about the perception of the quality of its news and the anchor of all things having his credibility questioned. And so NBC has launched an internal investigation. Well, really, is it really about credibility or is it something else? Let's talk about Brian Williams. Brian Williams is your basic, very basic television reporter. I've known, been familiar with Brian Williams for quite a while. And I remembered when he came on the scene, he was just, basic average, nothing spectacular there. But it is the nature of these organizations to select somebody, and usually it is as a result of very fierce representation and lobbying by a well-connected agent who, of course, is paid a great deal of money to advance the career interests of their client. And usually when a situation emerges where a position is going to be available or they think they should push for one anyway, they get to the decision makers within the media organization and they start marketing that person. Brian Williams was one such person. He was marketed, heavily lobbied for, and so they snatched him up. And, they got him all the things that they would normally get a person that they intend to make a star. They get him, a nice look. They get him good clothes. They get him all spiffied up and ready for the cameras. They get him also a staff. They get him all the bells and whistles that he needs because he is going to be the front man for the organization. And when you're the front man for a national and international organization, media organization like NBC, you get everything you need. And in his case, it includes $10 million a year to do his program. He has finally arrived. He's in league now in the same way of Walter Cronkite or Tom Brokaw who preceded him. And he is the star of NBC. Well, all well and good. Except that now that the stories, at least these two stories, are unraveling or have unraveled, and he has been forced to admit that he conflated his memory of things. Nobody's saying he's lying. There are all kinds of reasons and all kinds of explanations as to what is going on with Brian Williams. Conflation of memory, misremembering, mischaracterizing, all these kinds of things. But nobody is using the big word lie. At least few people are. But Brian Williams is just a typical guy in the industry. And the move by NBC to make people believe that this is so rare, it is so very unusual that you would have people in media lying that this thing, once it has been discovered, must be dealt with forthwith and very, very severely because media is all about credibility, of course, and you can't lie. Lying is not a good thing. Lying is absolutely forbidden, and nobody lies in the media. So Brian Williams unwittingly has caused NBC to itself lie because in treating his case and in treating this scenario as an unusual thing, NBC itself has begun to lie. And it is as if these things are very, very unusual, as I said, and they are not. Why NBC is moving along these lines is, of course, number one, it's embarrassed, but it's not like it didn't know this about Brian Williams, because the reports also say that the veterans, for example, who brought to the attention of the organization, of NBC, that the facts that Brian Williams had been bandying around in his talks simply didn't line up with what they knew to be the facts. So NBC had known about this and chose to ignore it until it became a public issue. And it became a public issue with the wrong constituency. When you have veterans now going public and attacking the media, and the media is all about being patriotic and veteran-loving and God and country and whatnot, and you have one of your stars allegedly lying about an experience involving veterans and involving the military, and doing so not for the standard explanation, and we'll get to that in a minute, but doing so to lift himself up personally, to add to his profile, to make himself far more exciting and appealing. They take umbrage at that, because this is a constituency that can cause even greater grief for a media organization. Why? Because when NBC, let's say, if it should choose to further ignore the notices given to it by these veterans, it now becomes a matter that the organization is itself being anti-military and anti-patriotic in service of protecting its own asset, and its asset being Williams. That in turn will have a problem, will cause a problem for NBC in terms of advertising, because no advertiser really wants to support an organization that would harbor and protect someone who has basically lied or refused to tell the truth about a matter involving a very serious topic for the military and for veterans. So now, Mr. Williams has begun a process that is no longer about himself, but he has now begun the process of threatening the revenue, the ad revenue, and of course, quote-unquote, the credibility, unquote, of NBC. And now he really has done it. So they have to deal with him, because he's now interfering with the revenue potential, excuse me, of NBC. And that is not going to be allowed. So right now, the thing is to just distance itself, the organization will distance itself from Brian Williams, and in so doing, will be doing damage control. They will be saying to the public, but mostly to the advertisers, that's who they're concerned about, we are doing the right thing here. We are aware that grievous mistakes might have been made, and we are acting responsibly to identify whether, in fact, this is true. We're giving the person in question also the benefit of the doubt, and we are doing this in a fair and professional way. But in no way are we ignoring the charges against him. Okay. So this is well on its way. NBC is patching up its problematic personnel issue. It's about revenue. It's not about credibility, because NBC, like many of the other major media organizations, routinely lie. They do. And they lie, for example, because they see their function and they implement that function primarily in the interest of the government. There's hardly a report that you would get about issues occurring outside of the United States, and very often within the United States, that doesn't meet the requirements and the approval of some agency or the other. The media really are serving the interests of the state. I don't think anybody could argue against that. It is no accident that many of these bureau chiefs all over the world covering these particular regions, it is no accident that they are very close to the State Department. They are briefed by the State Department. I was in Moscow, I think it was about 1980-something. I can't remember when exactly. But Sam Nunn and a group of senators, this was during the time just as Glasnost was occurring, when Gorbachev was trying to deal with the inevitability of economic change in Russia. And they were there just, you know, rattling their sabers and carrying on. And I asked Senator Nunn whether he thought it was a good idea at that particular time, a very delicate diplomatic time, to come to Moscow and basically just irritate things and rattle, you know, the sabers, basically calling for the demise of Russia. Of course, it didn't go over very well as a question. But at the end of that session, I saw Nunn pass to a reporter a yellow sheet pad, pages from a yellow sheet pad, I should say. And that was the story that the reporter was supposed to file. And I could only assume that he dutifully filed it. Now, that is what the American public would have gotten as the story of the day. There is no independent interpretation of anything at all by the reporter. There will be no alternative sources cited. That's just how it was done. The media had long been functioning as an extension of the state, an extension of the ruling elite of this country. So even within their own ranks, they do not tolerate very well independent thought. You see, this is what is important to understand about the media. They clearly understand that their profitability, their role, their fate even, is intricately interwoven with the system. And they're not about to go into extraordinary details to expose the underbelly of that system. Let's take a look at what happened to one of NBC's own reporters in covering the Israeli attack on Gaza. That happened just last year. We had NBC pulling its Gaza special reporter, who had witnessed the Israeli attack on four children, all of them brothers, who were killed. And he is an Egyptian-American, and he was pulled. He was pulled from that assignment when he filed that report, complete with pictures that he himself took. His name was Ayman Mohyeldin. He witnessed the event himself, personally, and he filed a report. And next thing you know, he was gone. And NBC instead sent Richard Engel. And we'll learn about Richard Engel in a minute. Richard Engel actually was the person who decided he was going to fulfill the mission, and he decided that he was fit for the job. Although he did not speak Arabic, he really did not have that as his beat, but NBC pulled the person who was best qualified for that job because he dared to tell the truth. Now, that seems to me to be a little problematic. The same Richard Engel, who got the assignment to cover the Olympics in Sochi, Russia, filed his story when he got there, saying that the minute he got there, his computer and his cell phone were hacked. And basically, it was meant to raise, again, the specter of Russia under Putin being a totalitarian state and the total catastrophe that Sochi was. And the minute he got there, he filed his report saying that his computers were hacked, his cell phone was hacked, and he blamed it absolutely on the Russian government. What did it turn out to be the case? That it turned out that, in fact, he himself, when he got to Sochi, he downloaded from suspicious websites that had malware in it. This happens a lot. And he did it himself. He downloaded the malware. He downloaded from these suspicious websites. And he admitted that he did. But he insisted that it was Russia that basically hacked his computer and hacked his cell phone. No proof, but that went as a story. So what's the problem here is that NBC, in this particular instance, and there are more instances in which, you know, you see these very erratic moves by NBC and other media organizations that make you wonder, okay, what is this pretense that you have all of a sudden that you are above suspicion and you are reinforcing the high standards that you usually and normally abide by? You are not to be questioned about this at all. And these people who are eventually outed are basically doing this on their own. This is their own personal failing. This has nothing to do with the culture of the organization, nothing at all to do with the way the organization routinely operates. And that is, in large part, it incorporates deception. NBC would have you believe that it's a fair and wonderful organization, but look at what it's doing in New York City, especially to Black and Latino communities. There is no public program that allows, which by law, by the way, by law, there should be the kind of public programming on all of these major organizations, media organizations, to allow the voices of the informationally disfranchised to be heard. That's not happening across the board. That's not happening. You may recall that in 2013, last year, Lisa Myers, a senior investigative correspondent with NBC News, had a small problem. And her problem was that she did a report on Obamacare in which she identified that in the language of Obamacare was hidden the story that emerged as a huge story. The language indicated that, in fact, people were not going to be able to hold on to their individual policies. She reported that story and brought that to light, and it became a huge story. But according to the Media Research Center, once that was filed, Lisa Myers was taken off that story. It was buried. She was just demolished. The story should have been a leading story, but it did not end up that way. It was deemed to be injurious to an administration that had very close ties with NBC.
or the other way around. So the media organizations that come forward at times like this with the attitude that they are protecting their credibility and their high journalistic standards and practices, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. And so you wonder then, what is the point of all of this? What is the point of it all? The point of it all is to protect revenues. That's all it's about. Protecting revenues and shielding themselves from the wrath of advertisers. And NBC has reason to be concerned in that regard because it is not doing well in advertising compared to its competitors. It is falling behind, including in its ratings. So this could not have come at the worst time with Brian Williams' faux pas. They're multiplying as the days go. And so we find NBC reacting predictably. Now, it may or may not bring him back. We don't know. And frankly, I don't care. Because from my perspective, there's a different story here. And it has to do with the ongoing discussion we've been having, which is about white supremacy. Here's a very average guy. I mean, and I'm being very kind about that. A very average reporter. No college degree. And just groomed for, maybe he was well connected, maybe he had a really great agent. But either way, he snagged a spot, which in the real world would never, ever, ever be available to a person of color. Not on the same terms. You can't walk in as a black person and say, hey, I'm ready for the job. No, I don't have a college degree, or even like Peter Jennings, no high school diploma even. But when the system selects you, and it selects you because it has a vested interest, and you therefore play ball in order to achieve your individual goals, it's a two-way street. They come to terms, and you get what you want, and they get from you what they want. But it is hardly ever about these high journalistic standards and practices. It is about the practical matter of revenue. Are you good for revenue? Now, when Oprah Winfrey managed to slip through the sluice because some unknowing guy opened it up and let her through it, you notice you had never heard about him. And she made a spectacular success in the field where she was supposed to be functioned. She was predestined to be, a grunt. And even at that, she should have felt privileged to be a grunt. But we see the difference in talent right there. And maybe that was the reason that people put a lid on things within the environment, the professional environment, where you are definitely not going to have a shot at it. I've seen this happen time and again, where people end up in extraordinarily high and lucrative places. Of course, there is a lockout of black and Latino and non-white talent at that level, and they all play ball. But it's at times like this that you see the hypocrisy of it. Here is Williams claiming, oh, I misremembered. And here is the agency that employed him saying, we can't tolerate this lapse in professional standards because we do not have liars. We do not lie at all as media people. We operate on the very highest of standards. Now, lest you think that this is all about what happens in corporate media, I'd like to disabuse you of that notion. We have in the alternative media the same kind of hypocrisy. People doing things that would blow your mind because the stated purpose, they say, is completely the opposite. For example, let's take what happened to a black radio station here in the city of New York called WLIB. WLIB, beginning in the, I'd say the late 60s, early 70s, was the reference point, the logical and natural reference point for African-Americans in the city. It was the lightning rod. It was a place where they could turn to for information of and about them. And it was the one medium, one outlet, that consistently dealt with their specific and unique interests. Well, mismanagement, some say, and some say that it was also the compounding effect of racism generally in the advertising world. But WLIB fell on hard times financially. I think, personally, it made some really boneheaded, wrong-headed decisions, and management accounted for the largest part of this problem. But I don't deny that the advertising world also had something to do with it, where they saw the black consumer market as being insignificant, and therefore not much money was directed at courting the black consumer, the operative racist view being whatever whites want, blacks will want. So there's no need to regard the black consumer market as something special. We don't need to romance them. They are a follower market, as it is commonly referred to within the industry. But a white liberal group called Air America decided they would take it over. And they just did. They just leased it. They just went in there and said, we had money, and we're going to take over the radio station. And the station agreed to lease the time. And so where you had black information, information about blacks by blacks, in this bifurcated world that we live in, it's a logical thing, a logical way to operate in terms of having the ability to disseminate information. LIB was a vital resource. And it became supplanted with so-called white liberal programming. And that was the end of LIB. They couldn't even maintain. In fact, the Air America went bankrupt. And by the time it did, it had utterly destroyed the historic reference point for black New York. It did the same thing at a sister station, really, WWRL. They went there next and destroyed that. Only because they felt that they had money, and money was what ruled everything. And with money, they could knock out the essential reference points for black New York and completely just run right over its programming. And they had no problem with that in terms of their commitment, their liberal credentials. No problem whatsoever. Let's just knock them out. We could take them over. And we will run our own show on radio waves that black people had come to regard as an oasis in this informational desert. That was a huge lie, wasn't it? A huge lie in the sense that these radio stations, the black radio stations, felt compelled to even marginalize their own listeners and say, well, look, it's about money. We'll take Air America's money, even if they don't know what they're doing, even if they're destroying us. It's the money. And that is more important than the needs of the listeners and our own need to basically do the right thing internally and run an efficient operation. So you had two radio stations destroyed in terms of programming. And life goes on. And then we come to Pacifica, which is something I know a little bit about. We saw that there was a movement that came out of, you know, grumbling initially by people who felt they owned the network, a specific group. And a very, very enterprising person saw an opportunity, which I think, and this is what I explained in 2001, to just take over the whole network. It began when a program that was designed to bring additional voices into Pacifica, to fill it out, to make the network of five stations a true exemplar of informational diversity. And one person said, well, I'm going to take this. This is not about democracy. It's about me. I'll take it. Some of us had expressed alarm because that was not the intention of this program. The program was made to show off the assets all throughout Pacifica. And there were great, great people all over the country who had not been heard and who should have been made available to the entire population listening to Pacifica, wherever they listen to Pacifica, and through their affiliates. But one person said, oh no, I'm taking this. And got the backing of many liberals out there with great big money to form a business enterprise. And soon came lies and more lies. Oh, the predominantly black governing board is trying to sell off our stations. Big lie, but it gained ground. And a huge effort was made to continue the lies, to continue a succession of lies, and on top of that, to begin and to perpetuate a terrorist campaign. And the terrorist campaign is exactly that. We had the offices of some of the members of the board absolutely trashed. We had people being followed and intimidated. I was one of them. We had bomb threats being made. We had threats of physical violence being made. We had the executive director having to split up her children and her family, including her 12-year-old twins, for their safety. I was there the day the FBI confirmed that the death threats against us were real and we should take them seriously. These are liberals, people who stand today and say how democratic they are. They're all about democracy, now and forever. And in the meantime, the idea was to drive this thing steadily downward, the whole network steadily downward. And lots of capital lots of money was coming in to fund a parallel operation. And the plan was very simple. And it's about to be completed. It is far on its way to being completed, to take over the entire network. Millions and millions and millions of dollars came in, but to a private operation that used the resources of Pacifica. They got through a highly questionable arrangement, a multi-million dollar plan in which Pacifica, despite the fact that it was burdened already, is being burdened more to pay millions of dollars for the production of this one program that costs more than all of the other programs combined and including operational costs. Highly questionable, highly irregular. Now, if this had happened in any other media world, it would be considered corruption. It would be considered theft. But these are liberals, leftists, so they are above suspicion. And they got their way. Money, lots of money coming in, but not to Pacifica. Pacifica is obligated to pay millions of dollars for a program it actually owns. It's the intellectual property. By the way, I would mention that that program was put together by my good friend, Samori Marksman, the late Samori Marksman, an Afro-Caribbean man, and Bessie Wash, the late Bessie Wash, an African-American woman. We heard on this program not too long ago that the program does not now reflect diversity at all. And that was someone who said he worked there. But the program is about to absorb all of Pacifica. Pacifica is on the brink of bankruptcy and extinction, but all the while it has been compelled to observe its multi-million dollar payment to a person and to the company owned, the private company owned by that person, using all of the resources of Pacifica that are kept alive by the support of its listeners, being paid millions of dollars, and Pacifica obligates itself to purchase the program again, once produced, to purchase the program. So for all intents and purposes, an entire parallel shadow network had been formed and continues to operate. I have been told by people who should know that it is not at all accidental that all these funds are coming in from liberal sources, because they are part of this whole plan. They'll get a free network and an affiliate arrangement at very little cost, because at some point Pacifica will be forced indeed to sell. So when we hear about these operations in media and the lies that we have become accustomed to by corporate media, the lies that we have not been told but that occur in alternate media, alternative media, I mean, they pale in comparison, absolutely pale in comparison. And then it is compounded because people say nothing. People just deny that this actually exists, that this has happened and continues to happen. People don't question, because those involved the movers and shakers in this band are all white. And supposedly liberal, and have these supposed progressive credentials, so they are above suspicion, above criticism, and yet their actions betray what anybody would call highly questionable attitudes and actions. So there you are. Brian Williams and his problem, and NBC's problem, are in fact typical of media in general. We've seen this over and over again. And we have to start asking questions and demanding answers and calling people out. I did that back 2001. I told people exactly what was happening. I was made, in fact, I was threatened by a major person involved that I would live to regret it. Live to regret my calling things out. If I were to tell people what occurred there, they would say this is not true. Couldn't possibly be true. But it is in fact true. And there is where we are. We are no different from the corporate media that we pounce upon all the time. In fact, it is, I think, a greater shame that we have in media circles that should be operating with different values, we have the worst kind of examples of behavior, of method, of greed, of complete dishonesty, of larceny, of malfeasance. It's the big buck, whether you look at NBC or whether you look at alternative media. It's the big buck. We talked last year about the Snowden event. And by the way, we did criticize Brian Williams' interview of Edward Snowden as such a farce. It was just hysterical. But that's the best that NBC could do. That was their man doing that vapid interview that made no sense whatsoever, in which Snowden, who was able to turn the tables, Snowden was in charge of the interview, and Brian Williams was the guest interviewer. It was hysterical. But we have Glenn Greenwald with his, again, very, very highly praised. Very highly praised. The guy who exposed all of these leaks by Snowden, getting great praise for his journalism. But has anybody said, except a very, very few, has anybody raised questions about his association with Pierre Omidyar, who is the head of owner of PayPal, whose support for the Nazis of Ukraine and in Europe was well known, who is suspected of essentially being a supporter of the U.S. policy there, and that he is the person who ponied up the millions of dollars to start the media outlet that Glenn Greenwald now heads. And nobody finds this to be a contradiction at all, except a very, very, very few. It's the same thing. Where are the standards? And who is really in a position to point a finger Brian Williams. How are you going to do that? When your hero journalists, and they win all these prizes and all this acclaim and whatnot, but you see the trade-off right there in front of your eyes, and nobody would report it. What a sad day. So I thought I would bring this to your attention. These things are part of the environment in which we function, both as listeners and as providers of information. We have to deal with these contradictions all the time. So that's why we're very careful, or we have to be very careful, in bringing in or providing sources to the stories and the information, because they should pass muster. They should pass a smell test. And there are many people out there today in media, high-profile people, who do not pass the smell test and who cannot pass the smell test. And we operate as if, well, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. But I point these things out to say to you that you have to be vigilant. And don't get carried away when these stories pop up and, you know, they join the bandwagon or here. You have to understand what is at play here. What is at play? And what is at play is deception, lies, all the way around. Nobody's exempt. Lies and deception. And simply because they have the power to exonerate themselves doesn't mean that they're not lying. Or won't continue to lie. If you believe that NBC News is going to continue after this debacle is over, however it is resolved, whether Williams holds on to his job or doesn't, if one really wants to believe that that changes the essential nature of NBC, you go right ahead and believe that. You'd be crazy, but you're entitled to be crazy. If one wants to believe that in alternative media, we have this code by which everybody abides, that everybody is above board and above suspicion, if you want to believe that, you go right ahead and believe that. You'd be crazy, but you're entitled to be crazy. I am just saying to you that at points like this, it is a good idea to remind yourself that the big prize for all concerned is your mind. That's what everybody's after, your mind. And that's the best piece of real estate you will ever own in your entire life. So protect it well. Protect it well. Nobody gets a free pass, including yours truly. Subject everything to considerable thought. And don't go for the okey-doke, because they have all kinds of ways of separating you and your mind. But keep your head steady, and you'll be all right. Thanks for joining me today. I hope this brings to your attention something that you probably need to be reminded of, that this thing called media is a very, very sophisticated operation, and it has all kinds of purposes. Not all of them at all are well-meaning. Tied up in all of this guff that you will hear are some really seedy and very disgusting aims and objectives that have nothing to do with your informational benefit and has everything to do with personal greed. Please be careful. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Wake Up Call with Richard Martin. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com and on Facebook, Lead Stories with Eutrice Lead. Please do let me know how these programs are resonating with you. Tomorrow, we return to our discussion with Professor Charles Lumpkins. See you tomorrow. Eat it up enough. I find out what it's all about. I don't want no more of your smoke. I'm gonna put it out. It won't be no joke if I find out you're alive. Baby, I can smell the smoke. There's got to be fire.